record that good joke. But just close, I'll worry my kids to go so quickly. Good evening. We finish up Klal test tonight with just two lines in the Chafetz Chaim. Two lines with a lot of meat behind them. The Chafetz Chaim writes on page one on the bottom, where the arrow is. Ha'omer l'chaver eze dabar. Someone who says anything, right? He doesn't say what it is. Chafetz Chaim doesn't say. So any person that tells you something, asur lo l'saper achar kach l'achirim, it's forbidden to tell other people. Elim ken nosin lo rishus al zeh. Unless the individual who told you that matter gave you permission. V'davka im hu davar delays be lishna bisha. This is only true, so it's not lashon hara. If it's lashon hara, then even if he gives you permission, you're still not allowed to say that. Now, Chafetz Chaim is clear over here that there's a prohibition to tell someone anything that someone told you. But it's not so simple. Earlier on, if you turn the page, back in Klal Beis, we learned the sugi of Api Tosa. Api Tosa was one of the hardest topics in Chafetz Chaim. Api Tosa was when someone says something in the presence of three people, under what scenario, under what conditions can you go ahead and now repeat that information? If the person said it in front of three people, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe it's okay that it's known. So on that, in the middle of that conversation, the Chafetz Chaim writes on page 2, where the Yud Gimel is circled, Emechad gil lechaver ba'api tlasa inyan isko umischaro v'kayotze b'zeh. If someone revealed to their friend in the presence of three people matters of business, they're embarking in a business deal, they're opening a store, they're whatever it is, Dvarim asher bistama asr achakach legalos la'acher, something which most likely you're not allowed to repeat to other people. Why? Pen yuchal lahagia lo al yedezeh hezek otzar. The individual told you that item, that piece of information, he could be damaged. It could be that he has a business deal, and if more people know about it, other people are gonna start the same business. It could be he tells you he's making a bid. This happens a lot. He's making a bid on a house, and then because people know that he's making a bid on the house, other people come in and they make a higher bid. So Chafetz Chaim says any of those types of things, which is forbidden to say because it could lead to hezek otzar, it could lead to damage or pain. Ach atosh agil o davar zev api tlasa. But if your friend told you and told you in the presence of three people, so then obviously he doesn't care if people know. In Ken Rainu Shayna Khoshishalze. Afimis Kalabasof. You see that he doesn't care. If a person told me at the Kiddush and the three people are surrounding me and told me a piece of information, so then they don't care. They obviously don't care if it's out. So Lachim Mutr Laza Shameh Mimena Lechilo Lagalas Lachim. Since the God doesn't care, it's mutter for the individual. It's not a secret, right? If it's not a secret, so I'm allowed to reveal that information. The Chafetz Chaim in the Ber Mayim Chaim has a question. It sounds from the Chafetz Chaim's words on top that the prohibition is only if it's going to lead to hezek otzar. But if it's just a piece of information, a secret, or not a quote-unquote secret, I tell you, I'm going away on winter vacation to the Bahamas. If you tell people, it's not going to lead to hezek otzar. Maybe they'll talk about the rabbi, he's going to the Bahamas, I don't know. But for a normal person, it's not going to lead to hezek otzar. It sounds from the Chafetz Chaim, it's mutter. The whole problem is only if it's something that could lead to hezek otzar, like a business deal or the like. The problem is a Gemara on page 3 in Yuma. The Gemara writes, it's bracketed all from the bottom. Minayin laomer davar lechaveru shehu bebal yomer ad sheyomer lecha ad sheyomer lo lechemor. How do we know that someone tells you something? Haomer davar lechaveru shehu bebal yomer. It's included in something that you can't speak about ad sheyomer lecha lo lechemor, until he tells you, until he gives you permission to speak. You're now to tell someone something. Shneimar vayedaber Hashem elav me'ol moed. The first pasuk in Vayikra. God spoke to Moshe in the Ol Moed, Lamor. What does Lamor mean? Don't say saying. What does Lamor mean?
To say.
You could tell people. So God had to say Lamor, because if God didn't say Lamor, you see, then Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been able to tell the Jewish people what God told them. Now, does God have any hezek, any damage? Is there pain to God? No. So you see, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the prohibition of repeating a secret is irrespective of the potential outcome that could come out of your revealing of the secret. The actual statement, the actual telling over what someone told you is a problem. So how come up top the Chafetz Chaim says, the Chafetz Chaim writes, it's only a case of a hezek otzar. So the Chafetz Chaim gives two approaches. The first approach is number one, back on page two, in the Ber Mayim Chaim, on the left side, the number one. Yesh lomer disham hu mida tova ba'alma. It's not an isser. It's not a real bona fide isser. It's midos. Get in the habit of never revealing secrets. There's no real prohibition. It's midos. That's the first approach of the Chafetz Chaim. There's no isser to tell a secret. It's just bad midos. Then the Chafetz Chaim says, no, 100% it's an isser.
But is this still talking about when there's three people? Or
no, this is in general.
In general,
there's a prohibition to tell a secret. If the person told you that information in front of three people, so that isser falls away. The problem is, up in the beginning, the Chafetz Chaim seemed to say it's only a case where it could lead to damage or pain to the one who told you the secret. But this Gemara, God doesn't have any pain. God doesn't incur damage. So it sounds like the prohibition is no matter what. It's no matter what. So the Chafetz Chaim, in a second position, says that it's only prohibited if the person who told you the piece of information did something to show that it's important that it stays quiet. If he says, listen, I'm telling you something, please don't repeat to anyone. Or you're in the Kiddush, and he quickly, or she quickly pulls you out and takes you to the side classroom and tells you something. So even if they didn't articulate, don't tell anyone, that's very clear. But if I'm just in shul, and I tell you something, and I don't tell you not to tell anyone, so there's no prohibition. If it's going to lead to damage, then it is prohibited. Yeah, that's really the sugya. There's either midos, not to tell a secret. In fact, there's a Medrash Rabbah. I already printed this when I saw this quote. The Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar says, in the merit of four things, the Jews were taken out of Egypt. There are different girsas of this Medrash. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their clothing. They didn't engage in immorality. And they didn't share secrets. The Medrash.
That's funny.
Very interesting. That's like that's what the Jews did to marry. The Svarim bring down that there's a Sifrei Kidmonim. I'm not sure who that is. It says a person who tells them a secret will come back in another life as a Gilgal, as an Elam, someone who can't speak. Again, I don't really know what that means. I'm not holding any Gilgulim and the like, but it's a big deal. Either it's a midos type of thing, and there's no real prohibition, or there's a hard line prohibition. There's a sefer called Chashukei Chemed. I think we've quoted before. It's like Zilberstein, where he has the most unbelievable questions, shailas, that were posed to him and to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv Zichar Tzadik Levracha, his brother-in-law, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. You might have the English "What If?" Mm-hmm. It's a very popular sefer. So they took all the shailas that he has all over the place, and they set them up all on the Seder of Shas. So it's fascinating. So each Gemara that halacha comes up, he has all these cases. He has 12 pages on this Gemara in Yuma of the Isser Tel Secret. And I wanted to highlight four of the questions that he deals with because I think some of them are relevant. Number one, the case was a woman is 35 years old and Lauren Lehner, she... This is on page five. So I'm not going to read so much inside, but you can have it here.
Okay.
I like to have the sources here for me in case anyone wants to look at it later. A woman was 35 years old. I'll read the question. Sheila. Isha bas 35-year-old 35-year-old lady. Chalsa lo aleinu b'machla kasha. She had cancer. Olenu. Ha'isha biksha meharofe umi baila lo lisaper li'ish al davar machalasa. She requested from her husband and from the doctor that no one should know about her illness. It's actually a machlokes, whether that's the preferred approach or not. One of my dear friends and colleagues is in Rebbe and JC, Rebbe Eitan Epstein. His sister died a couple months, 2 months ago, and she was from Boca, Danny Epstein, Danny Graziauer. And for years she was sick. No one knew besides the media family. She had 45 days in a row of chemo and was still working full time. Her principal, no one knew. That was her thing, not telling anyone. Here, the woman who was sick did not even want her father to know. But her husband felt that he should tell his father-in-law so that the father-in-law could daven for his daughter. So is that included in the Isser not tell a secret? So what do you think?
There's no damage.
There's no damage, but the Chafetz Chaim points out the prohibition.
She specifically said she doesn't want him.
Does that come under anywhere in the rubric of Kibbutz? Because he would want to know, and withholding it would cause him tsar.
Both of them are good.
So it's interesting you said the Rav Zilberstein says if it's gonna damage the father's health if he's old and now this is gonna make it worse for him, then don't tell him. But in the absence of that, if the father's healthy, then absolutely you should tell the father so he could daven. And we could assume that if the daughter knew the power of tefillah of a parent, of a child, she would be okay with her father knowing. That's what he says. Then he tells a story. He said there was a student who did not have a father. He was accepted to yeshiva. After a year, he got terribly sick, and the Rosh Yeshiva, he didn't have a father, the Rosh Yeshiva took care of all the medical everything. And the Rosh Yeshiva did not tell the boy's mother that he was sick. There was nothing she could do. It was. I guess they found out too late. It was a terminal illness, and he didn't tell the boy's mother, and took care of all the everything himself. The boy died. At the funeral, the mother got up, and she said, "I have a lot of akarsa tov to you, Rosh Hashiva, for taking care of my son, but I don't forgive you for not telling me because I could have died for my son." So, to me, it's mind-boggling that the Rosh Hashiva wouldn't tell the mother. Maybe
he deprived her a chance to see him.
Right? Yeah. There's a million. There's a lot wrong with that story. But that was Rav Zilberstein's proof that you should tell the person's father because the pain of a parent for their child. So we're playing at it. Sometimes you have to tell a secret. Right? If someone tells you a secret that they're suffering from a terrible medical condition, or they have a mental illness, we spoke about this, and they're in shiduchim. So there, you don't say, "Oh, is this sort of to tell a secret? What am I supposed to do?" That's why I know Rabbi Luban. I mentioned this. His brother was Rosh Hashiva in Boca or Miami.
In Miami.
He tells anyone who calls him that I don't talk about any students. I don't talk to any shadchanim about students because then they can't talk to me. Right. If they're going to talk to me, I'm going to have to tell. Sometimes the Torah overrides the secrets. I don't talk. That was his compromise. Otherwise, I spoke to our Lubin when we were learning these halachas. I said, people are calling me about students, and people might call people in the shul. And if they open up to you, and then there's relationships and privileges and confidentiality and the like. So that was one question. The second question was, let's say no one told you the piece of information, but you found out. You found out. You overheard a conversation. You went somewhere and you saw. You went to visit one person in the hospital, and while you're there, let's say you found out. Is that now also forbidden? So
for you to tell somebody.
For you to tell someone.
Somebody that somebody's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone told me, listen, so and so is sick, you cannot tell anyone. So I'm not gonna tell anyone. To the father, maybe it's different. The daughter, I can't just tell you, right? I can't tell you. There's no connection to you. It's an issur for me to tell a secret. Let's say no one told me this piece of information. I found that on my own. This happens, right? We find out something, and there's something psychologically strong. There's a real pull that we like to tell people information that we have. I don't know. I don't understand it. But when we know something, we like to. Maybe it's a power thing. Maybe it's a control. Can I tell over a secret that I found out? Not because anyone told me, I found out by accident. So there also, he says it's forbidden. Because even if there's no bona fide issur, one of the reasons that it's not good to tell secrets because of amidos. We should be, it's just an element of tznius. Not everything that we know is meant for everyone to find out about. Okay, now it gets a little more interesting. What about a secret of someone who passed away? I've heard this a lot at funerals. This person kept a secret, and now that he's no longer a lot, so is that okay?
What's the secret?
Didn't we once learn about someone who's dead that there's no real
answer? No, you're not. Well, no, there's no real
answer.
Right. Well, you now talk lashon hara about sticks and stones, but there's an issur to be mevazeh the meis. So he quotes in here Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. He says that it's forbidden. It's forbidden to tell over. Since you're not allowed to be mevazeh, you can't degrade the mace. It might lead.
Because he would have been upset.
He might have been upset. Or even if not, if it might put him in a negative light.
Or if it was a good thing, like he, secretly distributed funds every Arab Shabbos to people.
So then let's go to the last question. Because this, I think, is fascinating.
He donated an organ or something, but didn't want people to know.
Reuven tells Shimon that he saved Yaakov's life. Reuven tells Shimon that Reuven saved Yaakov's life. Shimon wants to tell Yaakov. Why does he want to tell Yaakov? Because he's very firm and he knows the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, Mevi Geula L'Olam." If you tell over someone something that someone did or that someone said to you, you say something in someone's name, you bring Geula L'Olam. He wants to tell Yaakov so Yaakov can have a karsa tov to Reuven, but Reuven doesn't want anyone to know.
Yaakov doesn't know that. Reuven saved his life.
Yaakov does not know Reuven saved his life, and Yaakov doesn't want Reuven to know. Sorry, Reuven doesn't want Yaakov to know. He tells Shimon. He says, "Do not tell anyone." Is Shimon allowed to tell? So Zilberstein had a fascinating proof, which he wanted to say why it's mutter. I never thought of this question. The Chida quotes the Yaros Dvash of Yonasan Eibshitz, who asked the following question. We know the story of Mordechai and Esther. Esther tells Achashverosh, right, that Mordechai saved his life. Why didn't Achashverosh reward Mordechai immediately? Why do you write it in the Sefer Zichronos? Mordechai saved his life, give him a reward. That's a good question. I never thought of this question. So, says the Yaros Tavash, or the Chida, I'm not sure which one, Mordechai told Esther, I'm telling this to you, but I don't want any credit. Don't tell Achashverosh. Esther wants to talk to Shirosh. Why? That's actually the source of Kol Omer B'Shem Omro Mevi Geulah L'Olam. The Gemara says, Tomer Esther B'Shem Mordechai. So she wanted to bring Geulah L'Olam. She wanted to get Mordechai the credit. You bring Geulah. If you tell someone a positive deed that someone did, you bring Geulah L'Olam. So she told Achashverosh, but she said to Achashverosh, don't reward him right now, because if you reward him right now, so then he's going to know that I told you. So reward him later on. So says Zilberstein, you see that if someone does something good and tells you not to tell, you're allowed to tell because it's going to bring Geulah L'Olam. And he says that's what happened because if Mordechai would have gotten the reward right away, then Achashverosh couldn't fall asleep later on. He wouldn't have gone through the thing and the whole story wouldn't have happened. So Senator Zilberstein, I have a great raya, a great proof that you're allowed to say it over. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he quotes, says no, that's not a good proof. You can't learn anything from Esther. Esther Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, the whole Megillah, Esther was full of Ruach HaKodesh. We can't make cheshbonos calculations of why Esther did like this. It's reminiscent of I think it's a Rashba. The Gemara says that the last time Esther went in to Achashverosh, she went in on her own volition. So it was no longer considered rape. And therefore, she's going to be an Ashes Ish is in Sa. She's a married woman who has an affair because she's, according to one opinion, she's married to Mordechai, and now she became forbidden to be with Mordechai, which makes the heroism of Esther that much greater. She lost her husband over this. She had a kid, I think, Daryavish, right? Mm-hmm. With the Achashverosh from that encounter. So that's why you read Kasher Avadati Avadati in the Megillah, right? Because now she became forbidden to Mordechai. Tosfos has a question. Why didn't Mordechai give Esther a get? And a person is allowed to be machzir grushaso, a person's allowed to remarry the woman, unless he's a kohen, a person's allowed to remarry the woman he divorced. So as Tosos, Mordechai should have given Esther a get. She could take her what she needs to do with Achashverosh. When that's over, she'll come back and marry Mordechai again. So Tosos gives a whole thing because you need witnesses and you need Edim, and once two people know, there's going to be a call, everyone's going to know, it's going to ruin her whole plan. Darash says that's not true. Darash says, Ein Mishiv, not the Re'agada. I don't know. We can understand halacha on these stories, but we can't start asking why Mordechai did this or why Mordechai didn't do that. We don't know. So I think it's similar thing Rav Chaim Kanievsky saying. I don't know. Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. You can't bring a proof. And he, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, says in such a case, you are not allowed even to tell someone about the good deeds they did. If they told you, they can't do so. If they never told you, you can't. So then, I don't think there's a problem. I mean, every funeral we go to, not every, but many funerals, they're telling over an amazing amazing deeds of a person. I just heard, this is totally off topic, they're basically done, but Rabbi Pesach Krohn's brother passed away. His brother was a common Krohn, was a huge Torah personality, and I never heard of him, in Lakewood. Apparently everyone in Lakewood knew about him. Rabbi Krohn sat over at the funeral, and if you have Torah anytime, you could find the eulogy. It's unbelievable. He, and just to give you a background, apparently Rabbi Krohn, or Kamlin Krohn, was like the biggest kanai in all of Lakewood. He was just anti a lot. He was anti a lot. He had, and I'm saying that to highlight what I'm about to say, he had an arrangement with the Israeli government. Every soldier who was killed in battle or in attack since 1948, he was given, in Ad HaYom HaZeh, he was given their name and the date, the Hebrew date that they died, and he paid on his own for people in Lakewood to say Kaddish and learn Mishnayos on the Eretz site. He said thousands of non-Frum soldiers, no one's saying Kaddish for them, no one's learning Mishnayos for them, and of his own money, and he didn't have any money, he raised money. Rabbi Krohn said he was buried with one thing in his pocket, a pink, in the coffin, a pink card, which had the amount of money he raised in his life. He kept the cheshbon for tzedakah, close to $15 million. And he was poor, close to $15 million. He paid, this is what Krohn said in the eulogy, he paid people on his own in Lakewood, yurtzeit, every, I think about the Abbas Yisrael, on his own money, on their yurtzeit. So I had to listen to this eulogy on, what's it, today's Wednesday? On Monday. My brother went to Bi Menachem Ava last night, and he said someone walked in, and someone said, I heard the funeral. I want to take that over now. Uh-huh. I want to do it. So they said, okay, I was letting you know it was $120,000 a year. And I said, I got it. Don't give it to another organization. I'm going to take it over. And I think no one knew about this, about Rabbi Krohn, until the funeral. So again, I don't think that's not what he's talking about here. Unless Rabbi Krohn said you're not allowed to tell him. Then he could get into the question, and maybe Gulalola, he's not alive. But I think normally, if someone does something amazing, so you're allowed to tell people. I'll end with one last cute story on Thanksgiving. I don't know if anyone's here, but Arya Leibowitz gave a shiur. Were you here for?
Mm-hmm.
He gave an amazing shiur about kidney transplants and whether you have the right to pick who you want to give the kidney to. Because you get a form that you could decide. Because the Mishnah says, Kohen's before Levi, Levi's before Yisrael, Talmud Chacham's before Am Haaretz, Ma. In the middle of that shiur, he spoke about how he gave bone marrow. And he started talking about how, what's Ellie Borger's wife's name?
Iris
gave a kidney, and he was talking about how amazing she is. I called my brother afterwards and was telling him about the shiur, my youngest brother. He listens to Ellie Borger a lot. And he said, that's so interesting. Rabbi Leibowitz gave his kidney. I said, no, he didn't. Mm. He goes, yeah, I'm telling you. He was honored at the Project Renewal Dinner in the Five Towns. I said, wait a second. You're telling me he gave a whole shiur of kidney transplants. He was told about Iris Borger. He should have been like, yeah, you know, and that's why when I gave my kidney. So I couldn't believe it. So I called Rabbi Leibowitz. I said, I have a halachic shaila for you. He said, sure. I said, is it mutter for me to tell people that you gave a kidney when you clearly didn't want to say that. I didn't say you. I said if there was a rabbi that gave a speech about kidney transplant and didn't say his name, would it be forbidden? Is that a mystery of telling secrets? So he started laughing. He said, "Listen, I didn't think," and this was so impressive. He said, "I didn't think it was important for me to say." He goes, "I agreed to be originally. I said no about being honored at Project Newell." He said, "I spoke to Rav Schechter and Rav Asher Weiss, and they both told me I'm chayev to do it because in a room of 600 people, they think three or four more people will give a kidney when they're a match, and that's pikuach nefesh." She goes, "For this year, there would have been no toelos, no purpose, nothing added to this year by me saying that information." He said, "If you think it's important to tell people, you tell people." Which I think the degree of anivus, humility, to not say that. But that's this sugya.
And all the things that we spoke about, the one thing that I'm thinking about in regard to the Megillah is everything we speak about is Jews except in the Megillah. Achashverosh.
But it was Esther telling Achashverosh what Mordechai did.
Right. But so this telling a Gentile is the same as telling a Jew in this situation.
Well, because the subject of whose trust, so to speak, you're violating is a Jew, right? What she did wrong, quote unquote, was to Mordechai, not to Achashverosh. But this happens. We all want to have information. I'll never forget. I had a chavrusa in YU once who wasn't such a good friend, but we were friendly. And at the time, I was working for Torah Chiraga in Israel, and they sent me to Israel for a week to meet the guys because I was going to do work with the alumni when they came back. So I told my chavrusa, "I'm just letting you know, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be gone for a week." So he says, "Okay." I said, "You're not going to ask me why? You don't want to know a week, maybe I'm having an operation." He goes, "If it's important, you'll tell me." And yeah, it was a little cold.
It's very difficult to do.
It's a little cold, but I think that's the right, again, for a close friend, that's not the right approach. But in general, people, we all want to know information, and when we have the information, we're like itching to tell people, or we'll say, "I have a really good piece of information that I can't tell you yet," and then it drives them crazy, because eventually you want it. When we know someone, God forbid, is sick or broke off an engagement or is getting divorced good things, we're just like jumping to share that information, and it's probably better from a tznius standpoint. And I struggle with this, to not always be the one running with juicy information. Okay.
It's very difficult now with Facebook. It's immediate. Yeah, everywhere.
That's not a secret then.
That's right.
Right, but.